your presentation. Do we have the number? How many of you are here?
Oh, will you take one to put it back to the screen?
Let's
close down those two institutions. Let's close a bit. Let's give
Can you just finish what I have? Give me 2 minutes to do that. Are you fine now?
Thank you very much, Dr. Kanishka. In terms of our own presentation, we're going to present in terms of the plan of NYC moving forward. Since we've been established, launch of the system of training the community, we're going to focus on those plans. But we're also going to give an overview report about the institution which is doing that. And nothing is going to change. But I think I must highlight it before I hand it over to the that we've closed some of the funds in the commission that we closed down. We've commissioned through Pezar and currently through those two institutions. It should be discussed within the financial matter until we get the report at the end of the month.
This is Honorable Anna Linda from Harlem. I'm an alternative member from the Commons of the People's Civil Commission. Thank you.
I'm Peter Kitana, member of Parliament.
Morning all, I'm Denise Robinson. I'm from the GA, member of Harlem.
Good morning. I'm Helen Petello, member of Parliament, UCDC.
Chimera, you need to arrive in the Parliament of Mahatma AFC.
Good morning. Honorable people, I'm joining the member of Parliament, representing the Congress of the People.
The outline of the presentation, we intend to look at the issues around the vision and purpose, the objectives of the NYGA, and then present the URF to we find that this commission is still on performance, then touch on some of the transition challenges, including giving an update on where we are with the measure. And then we then we'll touch on the future going forward in terms of the key performance areas that were set out for the NYPA and then what we anticipate depending on the budget that we do the performance target for the NYPA. And then lastly, which is what will come out in the certain challenge, will be the transition management. The chairperson.
Can I say this before you start? Why don't you first give us an overview of Mutomogu, the National Commission, from the time they were operating until they have handed over to you, then the start on the NYPA.
Okay.
I don't know, that is my friend. I think we'll prepare this
method. Okay. If you go to page 6, or not sure what slide number you see on the overview, but that's page 6 of the implementation. Tends to reach in that URF performance 2008-09. But obviously, there's not going to be detail of what those decisions did, but each one of the key performance areas, I think one can implicitly show what those decisions did. But just in the next year, to say that, as you know, Umtomo Reef Fund was established in 2001. And with one initial contribution by the national fiscal through the Digitalization and Media Act. And then the Later Youth Commission was established in 1996, flowing from the Later Youth Commission Act of 1996. The mandate, respectively, of the two institutions were in respect of the social fund, job creation and skills development. For the Later Youth Commission was to drive issues around lobby advocacy and issues regarding legislation for youth development. In as far as the roles really at the practical level, the Umtomo Youth Fund was responsible for implementation of programs aimed at that mandate, and the Youth Commission was more around legislative policy matters. In that respect, to create an operating environment and also to mainstream youth development throughout all the facilities of government. That was the role of the National Youth Commission. You would know as well that the one was Section 21, that is the Umtomo Youth Fund, so it did not have an enabling legislation. It fell under the Department of Finance and subsequently under the Department of Labor. The National Youth Commission was under the presidency, reporting to the minister in the presidency, and it was not governed by a board like the Umtomo Youth Fund, but more by a by the commissioners that were appointed by the National Parliament. So that is just from a governance point of view and what those two things stood for. And now, with the establishment of the NYDA, the two entities, then it almost means that the two mandates are now being brought into one, i.e. to implement programs at the same time to engage with issues around policy and advocacy. And you will see when we show the programs that is there. From a performance point of view, what you're seeing here is only for the two respective years, 2007-08-09. And I'm just trying to check if there is an overall 7-year report of each. I don't think that is the case, but if there is interest to look at that, that can be submitted at a later stage. But just to look at the respective years, the key programs are not only found where. Well, on page 6. So I was just giving an overall introduction of what those two entities stood for. And now I'll focus specifically on the issue around the performance, historical performance of the churches. The what we see in terms of the programs were around skills development and transfer, the National Youth Service Program, and also supporting small and medium and micro enterprises, and also lastly on provision of information to young people. That's those are the things that we can focus on, and we'll see when we touch on that. We can see that on a year-on-year basis that the number of young people participating in the National Program dropped significantly from 1 year to another, from 55,308 to 34,906. So there was a 37% drop. And this is highly correlated to the amount of funding. Because per project participant, we're looking at anything between 2,600 to 50,000, depending on the nature of the program. And also, you know that the National Service, by and large, the resources come through government departments, they don't come straight to the income of the U.S. On the issue of loans, there was a growth year on year of about 11.2% of up to 21 million, and the loans issued again was about 86 million. And the business support intervention, this is where young people are assisted with their business plans and so forth. That number went up to 12,000 through the voucher program. And then the number of business opportunities, this is where UIF facilitated procurement opportunities for young businesses, for youth-owned businesses, that went up. So that went down as a result of the recession, the economic recession that most businesses were experiencing. They did, the numbers dropped to 101 million, and I think the numbers could even go further down because of the changes. You know, people tend to procure through entities when you're going to remain overseas, that creates uncertainty with your business partners as to where you're going and so forth. The youth card, the number of ex-members increased. In fact, this number size, the new members, there's about 300,000 people who got the youth card, but the numbers went to 72,000 a year. And in terms of youth advisory centers, close to 500,000 young people. The numbers will be higher, but these are people who sign the register when they come in. Some would not. So we can almost say that all of them do go through the youth advisory centers. The jobs created, this by and large would be flowing from the loans that have been advanced. So these are not hyperbolic numbers that are drawn based on assumptions, but they are numbers of jobs that have been created, about 38,000. But yeah, for every loan issue, a micro loan issue, you're creating a job. For every young person that you train, you're increasing their likelihood towards a job. So the numbers of 38,000 over the 7 years, close to 160,000 young people have put to jobs in the with intervention against the investment government has made of about 1.3 billion rand. And on information services, we touched on the highlights of the what was intended of information. As you can see there, the number of youth advisory centers was supposed to increase from 107 to 121, but due to budgetary constraints, those advisory centers, in fact, were not launched. The 121 was a number that existed in 2007, so 8, and you can see that number being constant because no new youth advisory centers were launched as a result of not having the necessary resources to do that. Equally on the YAG mobiles and the visiting kiosks. Members would know that in the budget year 2007-2008, for some reason, National Treasury only allocated 5 million to improve this fund. So when you see these numbers, they are mostly as a result of income that has been derived from loans that were extended. So, you know, the question comes, why were numbers dropped? The question we thought back is that, you know, there wasn't any funding, only 5 million was allocated in the budget year 2008. There was a complaint to Parliament, but you know, there wasn't any money that came through after that. So we're looking at money at performance largely from resources generated from funds, which was as a result of loans extended and the recoveries that were made. There was not more than 5 million that came from government. So, and which is why we're happy with the legislated environment, because hopefully that creates a constitutional imperative for Treasury to provide the funding as well. I will not touch on the portal gifts. I mean, I think that's just number of young people coming through to the portal. On the skills development side, again, number of unemployed graduates trained, that number dropped significantly from the the targets were set against an expected budget of 480 million rand. I think one might just put that into perspective. There was an expected budget of 480 million rand, of which only 5 came. So that's the comparison there. The volunteer service, 504 to 2 young people. This is a program where we encourage young people to be involved in where they become a volunteer mentors for young people who come from child-related households and so forth. Bernadine, that program suffered a great deal. And then just general volunteerism, 34,000 young people participated. One of the great achievements, I would say, under the Nathan Lucille project was the contract that was entered into by the community fund with the local organizing committee. There is a contract that has been entered into in terms of which all volunteers for 2010, the recruitment process is managed by WASMA, community fund, the screening and the logistics and placement of volunteers, all the volunteers still during the Confederation Cup. Those are recruited, trained, and placed from the fund about. And even now that contract continues to recruit and place about 15,000 young people through all the whole cities, including the training and so forth. So when the LOC talks about the volunteer program, by and large, even the call center that you call when they're recruiting volunteers, that call center is run and managed by the National Development Agency. On the business development side, I've already touched on some of the numbers, vouchers. One of the things that which will not continue going forward, and might be of interest to this committee in particular, is the fact that it's going to defocus on women as well, because there was a feeling at the time that especially when you do programs in rural areas, they tended to be power dynamics within communities where you find that they exclude. I mean, a woman who's 38 years old, for all intents and purposes, is just not 35. And then you find that those people are equally unemployed. So in some instances, we felt it was quite fair in those programs because they have also suffered the impact of apartheid. That we don't exclude those young women, most of them have got children and so forth. And also it helps with power complex dynamics, because you can imagine if you've got a son who's 18 years, who's been given a macro loan, a 45-year-old mother who's unemployed, and you have to now depend on the funds, the income, and the money that's not coming. So we felt that it was creating dysfunctional communities in some respects, especially in the more rural you go, and hence we felt it was necessary to focus on women. But we're quite pleased now that the Ministry of Women and Youth, Women, People with Disabilities, and Children. So hopefully some of those programs will continue going forward. For example, there was a specific year fund that was created between Sobongo and Old Mutual, 100 million on each year in Berber, to focus on women-owned enterprises. And that fund has ceased to exist because now with the MIGA, the mandate is not going to be there. But we hope that all each other will continue to partner with the new Department of Women. So as you can see, in some of the areas where we're talking about women and with people with disabilities as well, I must say that I think someone could not find itself in as far as reaching out to disabilities. So the NYGA, it is one of the core areas that we have to focus on in terms of improving the impact that it has on people with disabilities. And so that will be important, including, again, the issue around, you can see that there were young people in rural areas who were reached by the voucher program. But those numbers, and that's where the need is, but that's where there's no capacity. And one of the things about the infrastructure and the intention of the NYGA is open offices in all the local municipalities. The advantage would be that you'd be more well placed in to operate in rural communities. So that is an area for improvement which hopefully the NYGA will address. Issues around tenders and loan access is a function of the economic recession that we experience. Moving on to business opportunities, I've already touched on that. Again, it's a function of the economic environment that obtains itself in South Africa and globally. Also that reflects on the number of young people who are successfully placed who are unemployed and successfully placed. The NYGA has recently entered into an agreement with Palama, Public Leadership Academy and so on, and with the Public Service Department and Administration Department to actually place young unemployed graduates in all government agencies. So I think there should be a great and vast improvement that the NYGA will show going forward as a result of the new relationship And then there are a couple of sessions in the local, in the youth advisory center that I have where young people come in and participate in job preparation sessions, how to write your CV, how to go for a job interview, etc. and so forth. And then going on to enterprise finance, this is something that unfortunately Ntombo got known a lot for, but even though it was not the only thing he did, and a lot of criticism that he attracted was in respect of this particular program. In as far as lending, extending money to micro and small and medium enterprises. The numbers, as you can see, there's a very marginal change in terms of there's been an increase in the number of loans made, but there's a reduction in the amount of money lent as a result of much more emphasis being placed on micro enterprises. Because there was a feeling that that the social impact of micro enterprise development is far higher than you find in an SME. The chairperson always argues that the cost per job created through a micro enterprise is far lower, because for a 10,000 loan, you could have 2-3 people employed. For a 5 million rand, you could have a franchise. So the bigger loans create more impact in as far as wealth redistribution and black economic empowerment is concerned, which is still an objective for our national democratic dispensation. But when you talk about social impact and lowering the Gini coefficients in terms of inequality, obviously micro enterprises got a far higher impact and penetration on people, especially in rural areas. So I think the NYDA has in going forward, you will see that it's going to place a far more emphasis on micro enterprise as opposed to SMEs. And this, of course, our tuition fees that has been paid for institutions that are 7 years old, this lesson plan, and we should be taken on going forward. Again, women, you can see there, 137 million rand loans. So it's very interesting because one of the respects that women aged 60, 42, 35, 21, 65, coming to borrow money, and you clearly saw that there was a gap. Because then when you went into youth advisory centers, you find the 62-year-old umama sitting next to waiting for her queue with a 21-year-old, you know? And they were doing that unashamedly, they asked the loan. And the good thing about women is that they paid back better. So your portfolio at risk improved as a result, you know? So it's something that I'm hoping I can continue to convince the new powers that be that maybe let's help women and see there's a fund for women. It was really the paid back better. When you talk about collective, you call them and say, I'm from Herman and Van Page, you know, your own home, you know that the following day your loan will pay, you know. So I think it does not, I mean, at a business level, it does not a bad thing to do. You know, it would want just to take it from a risk management point of view. So it's really quite a thing, but again, I think we hope that it's the kind of program that will be sustained going forward. So I'm not going to go into them. We touch all those numbers. I mean, let's talk 2006, 2007, 2008. One of the things that you can see, there was a remarkable increase in the fifth year, the year initiated from 15,000 to 57,000. This was as a result of introduction of my visa, because what one of the things that I did was that it really placed youth at the center of development, and from two government departments, 23 government departments started to participate in the next year, and we hope that that participation, with or without an visa type of strategy, will be sustained. So that was one of the major reasons why so national service numbers going up in a large measure. So all in all, if you look historically, there has been a gradual and in some areas a remarkable improvement. Year on year, some numbers have dropped. As I said to you, look at these numbers against the backdrop of the fact that the numbers dropped. Now, if you go to page 15 and you look at the income statement, it becomes quite significant. This is a hypothetical loss, not an actual cash loss, because the way in which the accounting is done is that whatever money you have received, you put it under reserve, and once you spend it at the end of the year, you then transfer the actual amount spent into your income statement. So just to put it in a simple way. So whether you have seen that as a result of the fact that a lot of the funding will not necessarily have been transferred from the balance sheet, but there would have been cash spent from your available cash resources and so forth. So the project disbursements are really the main contributor to this huge loss. As a result, we see that there's more money that was paid to projects. Now, you would ask, how come you paid more money when you say you only got 5 million? You'd know that money that you spent this year, you account for it the following financing at the end of that year. So that's just money 2007-8, but at the end of 31 March 2008, you're accounting for funding of the previous year's financial year. But that then impacted on the numbers going forward from an achievement point of view. So this is merely projects that were committed to in the year 2007-8, some in the 2 years 2017. And you find that once you commit to a project, we put the money aside, it becomes what we call encumbered. Encumbered the resources, you can't touch that money, waiting for projects to be paid out. So that's where you see that. So it's not that there was a huge SAA type of, or one of the operating entities where you find that they had their book or whatever the case might be, and then there was a huge loss. This is not an indication of cash flow, it's an indication of the accounting transfer from one year to another. And you can see there that the operating expenses went up from 73 to 90 million. Really, as the number of some of the programs grew. But significantly, one of the things that happened in that year was a huge investment in information technology, in terms of laying out an IT system that was going to integrate all the different programs. You would recall when someone started, it used to use a lot of service providers. So most of the capabilities from an IT perspective were really linked to projects, but were not all harmonized to deal with a participant in terms of navigating them through the various programs. So that was a huge expenditure that was incurred. I think one of the things that you will see also the fair value adjustment, which is the result of the loss experienced as a result of write-off. That number is very low, but we can just say that in the coming year, that number will be very high, because currently the bad debts have really gone through the roof as a result of the economic recession that is being experienced. In terms of assets, again, there you can see that there has been a huge decrease in the amount of assets, and by and large is as a result of, if you look below, that your reserves have gone down very significantly from what you had in the previous years as a result of no cash coming through the income statement and balance sheet. On the National Youth Commission, the National Youth Commission have already touched on what was its purpose. To a large extent, the Youth Commission was not responsible for implementation of programs, so I hope you don't expect to see a reporting in terms of numbers of young people training, numbers of this, numbers of that, because there was a lobby advocacy facilitation role. So I'm just preempting any question of such nature. One of the major achievements, I think before even one talks about the National Youth Commission, the Youth Commission spearheaded 1998 Job Summit. They were among the young people there as commissioners that fought very hard at NetLeg for the establishment of a fund for young people, which is the Youth Fund. So in a way, the Youth Fund would refer to the Youth Commission as the grandfather, grandmother, because they existed prior to that and really shaped the discourse that took place by the Job Summit, President Job Summit, at the time when President Mandela was still in office, which, amongst others, led to the Demilitarization Levy Act 1999 and then the formation of Nkomo. But I think it's a major achievement that often goes unsung. Secondly, is that the South African Youth Council existed as a result of deriving its mandate through the NYC Act and then the commissioner at the time told to eat the successful launch of the youth startup youth cancer. He then experienced some problems with youth cancer, then his name started. So the existence of the youth missionaries in South Africa can be attributed by in a large measure to the National Youth Commission. So that's the first one, that the sovereignty, the provincial youth commission, which had no regulatory connection with the NYC, so will not report on those. In as far as the youth commission is concerned, another major achievement is the National Youth Service quality. I mean, there were a lot of people who felt the youth service, because it was there during the apartheid days under organizations like Joint Investment Project and so on, and it was very, you know, it was not very well organized, it was not formalized, and people just felt this was going to be a cheap visit program through which money would be spent frivolously. But by and large, as a result of the lobby and advocates, and that was waged by the Youth Commission, we then saw in 2003, government, the cabinet passing the National Youth Service Policy. So when we talk about the National Youth Service Program, by and large, that owes itself to the existence of the National Youth Commission as a result of the role that it played. It has successfully introduced the National Youth Policy in 1999, and then again in 2003, and now the latest one, 5 years later, there was a National Youth Service Policy, which is one that it's been shown on page 18 in 2008, which was adopted by the government. This national youth policy is very important in the sense that it really creates an overarching framework which government and private sector and civil society should refer to in its implementation of national youth programs. And it is a tool, therefore, that should be utilized for mainstreaming of youth development. So, the latest policy was adopted by the cabinet. It's a very seriously negotiated, lot of workshops throughout the country. It's a very involved process. All government departments came on board, met like youth practice, provincial youth commissions, the working committee, and the government social trust. It was 10 back, not less than 5, but before it got adopted because of its implications for the country. And then also, the Youth Commission was responsible for introduction of input into various bills and legislation, which in the main affects young people and substance abuse with respect to education. A very other successful program of the Youth Commission was the establishment of local youth units in municipalities, which was aimed at making sure that the integrated development plans of municipalities do include youth development in as far as their local economic development is concerned. So, very important role that was played by the Youth Commission. Again, the African Youth Charter was ratified by Parliament, and I must say in Africa, South Africa played a very significant role at the African Union to ensure the adoption of the African Youth Charter. So, really a very significant contribution, not made only to South Africa, but to our continent as a result of our colleagues in the National Youth Commission. There was also an audit on the Samsung Youth Dialogue Reserve. One of the good things about legislating a program of action as in the Youth Development Act and the Youth Development Agency Act is that the Commission could only go as far as lobby and advocating implementation, but it had absolutely no key to actually compel government departments to come to the party. And so, you know, and I think that has been, that's a major change in as far as the NYDA is concerned. That now, at least, you can pass regulations, you know, you can sanction, you can, but of course, the president is responsible for monitoring and evaluation, you can recommend that. So there is some legal power, I think, that has changed as a result of this new paragraph that will find itself within the NYDA. So, that, by and large, that was a big handicap on the Youth Commission in terms of doing work. It's not that colleagues never did work that was supposed to be done. The only problem was that you could only go as far as lobby, and the rest was decided on the government department. We spoke about the structural youth desk at municipality level and the capacity of youth officials at municipality level. Mm-hmm. Of course, with no precedent, and one wrong member, that you know, development is local, and You know, and I think it's a major, major intervention. I mean, you can see now the delivery drive, and so there's a lot of young people who are participating in this delivery drive. So the importance of this youth agency and the youth unit working at the local level cannot be underestimated. There was an interdepartmental committee to bring departments to come and for purpose of coordinating and monitor and raise the limitation that existed. So, and also the implementation plan was developed. As you can see, in terms of the finances, 31 March 2009, there was a budget total of about 31 million. A lot of the work people could say, no, but this money spent a lot of salaries. The committee did not ask for a lot of this work. A lot of this work was done by the people within the office. So, I mean, I think any argument to the contrary that the people spend money on the salaries, you know, wouldn't be correct, because we had, instead of absorbing and showing a small salary, we had people within the organization doing the work. As a lot of this work, a lot of time, is a result of such. And so you can see that the finance cost came down significantly as well. And then also very little capital expenditure, hence so the decision numbers are quite on the low side, where there wasn't much capital expenditure that happened in the year under review. In terms of property plant, you can see the duplication in terms of what is there. And cash and cash equivalent is about less than $1 million. The payables will be things as the payable and bad, ladies, etc. that was you, but these are not significant third party debts that are also third party present. So, Catherine, in a nutshell, really just to go to say that where we are at right now is that the two institutions have successfully been met. The only thing, as the chairperson said, is remaining is the conclusion of the closure audit, but we don't see that being a big number of activities that have to be undertaken, because we just recently there were audits that were undertaken. And staff last week Friday compared with the board of the NYGA in the file terms and conditions of service are concerned, a unionized environment, and that can take as much as 6 to 7 months. I think we're quite fortunate that those terms and conditions within 3 months have been adopted by both the board, senior management, staff, and the union. So that has been done. Operations have been met, so we by and large right now, we're talking, as Shepard has said, the two streams have been closed. We're talking about people who have one identity within the two institutions. Now going forward, really the focus is going to be on the provincial youth commissions to bring them into the fold or introducing energy at the provincial level, because the youth commissions in provinces have been dissolved. And the act was passed, and the key performance areas, I'm not sure if they want me to continue. Or you want us to take questions on UIS, NYC, or maybe just wrap up quickly? Okay, so I'll wrap up very quickly, mindful of time. Then I'll take you back to page 3. And now we are moving into the new paradigm, the season of hope, the National Youth Development Agency. That is now going to be the feature of our democratic dispensation for many years to come, and which nestles its operations on those that have come before to correct some of them. So we don't expect it to criticize some of the youth commission. NYG is going to solve all those problems. So you can just take them as mandates. You can just take them as a new mandate for the NYG. You know, say, just make sure that those people there and so on, fund, you know, they were not doing ABC. So NYG, you must fix. Then you can hold NYD accountable next year. So I hope there's no question for you, Commission. And so on. And going forward, that has been addressed. I'm very hopeful.
There will be questions.
I'm just taking chances, Chairperson. Chairperson and honorable members, by and large, and I think this is a very important point to make, there was a preponderance and an overemphasis in as far as this development is concerned to focus on government as the agent of change. And now, I think one of the new things that the NYDA is saying is that change is not for government only. All members of society must play a significant role. Private sector, civil society, and government. I think in the past, one of the major weaknesses around URF, NYC, which will then now be addressed by the new commission, is that it cannot only be that government is a solution or a panacea for youth development. So I think that's a major strategic shift and change going forward. If you look at the Act, it does really speak to a good emphasis on cooperation with civil society and private sector. So when you talk about the vision there being to mainstream and integrate youth development, it's in all spheres of our lives for sustainable livelihood. This is why the NYDA is to mainstream and integrate youth development in all spheres of our lives, respective of where we are. The nature of business is to initiate, facilitate, implement, coordinate, and monitor. Now, that speaks to the three parts. Initiate, facilitate, implement, talks to what you are used to do. Coordinate and monitor talks to what the Youth Commission needs to do. So all those things now have been brought into one. So one of the things that people tended to accuse the former cities about was that sometimes some cities have clashes between the two in terms of who does what. Because sometimes you need to coordinate and monitor. If a private company or a government department comes and lobbies you for a special program and they're getting an ambassador in the press for not doing anything at the Youth Commission, it's very tempting to want to work on that implementation of that program, even though it's not your mandate. And then URF gets annoyed. So I think right now there will be no test issues because there's one institution, one organization that addresses those issues. The objective, an integrated youth development plan and strategy, it was developed, it needs to be updated, to make sure that it is at idem with the National Youth Policy. And also to develop guidelines for implementation and integrated National Youth Development Policy. And again, if I move on to, and the last part is to partner and assist others of state, the private sector and non-governmental organizations and CBOs on initiatives that are the attainment of employment and skill development. So this is going to be very, very important going forward, that advisor partnerships are going to be something that the NYDA will need to focus on. One of the major weaknesses, as was acknowledged in the past, was around rural development. Rural development, I don't think it's a blot only on the URF and Youth Commission. And then I think government, in the new government, it has formed the Department for Rural Development, because of the recognition that rural development is not something that you can just conflate with local government development or public work. You need a specific focus on rural development. And that rural development is not agriculture, because in the past people tended to defer rural development to agriculture. So I think as a result of that, the NYDA will be working very closely with that department to make sure that there are programs initiated and there's an overemphasis and focus on rural development. Because when you do research, you do realize that there's annually a large migration of young people from rural to urban areas in search of jobs that are very elusive. And then if you look at the number of unemployed young people in urban areas, I mean, in places like Cape Town, Devon, and Johannesburg, it's very high. And the large numbers of young people who live, who are immigrants. So that is going to be a very, very big emphasis of the department of the NYDA. And that will include things as cooperative and so forth going forward. Again, every year we'll announce annual national priority programs, and we're also going to to promote a uniform approach, not the same, but uniform approach. There must be some similarity in terms of understanding of what is youth development from one department and the government or private sector concern. The research that was done, Chairperson, on the expenditure by government on youth development found that less than 30% of the national fiscal, there's almost about 18% that is spent on youth and youth-related activities in as far as development is concerned. We broke this into three categories. Category one was problems that make an immediate impact. A person getting a scheme, a person getting a loan, and so forth. So it's an immediate sustainable impact in your life. Category two was programs that were indirectly aimed at young people but of generally high awareness level. This will be HIV AIDS awareness, crime awareness programs, festivals for youth development, June 16 events, etc., etc., etc. And the third category would be programs that may positively touch on young people. It was very startling, or rather quite good to find out that the performance of government and private sector is not different. In both spheres of government, young people were focused on incidentally rather than intentionally. Only 3% of government budget was spent on youth directly related programs. 11% were spent on things such as awareness programs and so on, which there is a very small connection between that event and the development of the young person. So that is one of the things that as NYD would want to shift such resources to make sure that they focus on young people in a much more direct way. And then, of course, then there was the general one. So similarly with the private sector, what we found was that young people were benefiting coincidentally rather than intentionally. And so those are some of the things that we would want to see going forward to make sure that people focus specifically on young people because their programs are unique and very special. So part of this plan that we'll announce every year in terms of the youth will be to do this. People, young people with disabilities, again, not a very big achievement in the previous years. Again, we need a specific emphasis on that. We have a board member who comes from people with disability community and is very passionate about it to make sure that there is. And in the coming 2 months, Chairperson, you will see a launch and probably we'll bring it here to Parliament of 2 specific strategic documents, one on approach to rural youth development and another one on approach to developing young people with disabilities. You remember that there was a campaign that was run by Umsobongo on a job for people with disabilities. And through that we learned a lot of things. Transportation is a problem. Workstation facilities are a problem. So those are some of the big things that we found there, that generally employers are not ready to accommodate people with disabilities. So we'd like to have a much more focused approach on those type of things. In S5 going forward, and now I will jump to page 23. I'm sorry to go back and forth. On the key performance areas, Chair, I will just quickly run through them. I think they are very much self-explanatory. Economic participation, with a focus on job creation and job development and placement, and then also on issues such as SME development. Education and skills development, yeah, we don't see ourselves as a replacing or displacing the role played by DOE, but you know that Jefferson spearheaded a program that he announced recently, which we intend to launch in the near future, which is focusing at national school, national senior certificate participants who have not or who have not passed very well or even completed. To say, because there is no safety net for young people who fail matric or who do not complete school. There is no safety net. And so this program that the NYDA announced recently that intends to launch is ready to say, how do we create what we call a second chance program for young people who cannot find jobs because they've got low levels of skills, who do not have money to repeat, nor are they allowed to repeat because they have reached that maximum age of 19 years, nor do they have funds to work in and start their own businesses, or are they ready to start their own businesses, nor are such young people possessing the necessary skills to start their own business. And these are most people who normally complain about, I don't have money for a business, but it's very difficult to succeed in business when you've never had a job or some work experience, even if it's not a job. So those young people, the numbers, as you know, Chairperson, they are increasing exponentially every year. And when you say, when you see that, even though government over the last 15 years has created jobs, but unemployment has marginally reduced or increased, it is a result of increased number of labor market entrants into the labor market. By and large, the large numbers of those are young people who have just completed matric. They are able-bodied, they want to work, they want to learn, but there is no safety net to continue from. So that is going to be a major, major focus for us, because we cannot address unemployment and youth development unless we address the cause of young people. So, and if you look at other statistics about crime, about HIV and AIDS and so on, and you look at the negative social impact of not dealing with this phenomenon, that is actually creating many other problems in society as a result. So it's a very important thing, and the Chairperson's vision is well embraced in this regard. The National Youth Service Program is another program that will continue to be implemented. Social cohesion is really about making sure that, you know, some of us tend to focus a lot on jobs, skill development, career development, and so on. But young people do not develop like that. Young people develop because they participate in church, because they're active in things such as making sure they know about their rights, their democratic rights, their vote, and so forth. That's how a well-endowed youth society should look like. And so the intent of the high social cohesion is to say, let's not only focus on jobs, skills development, SME development, and so forth, but also encourage our young people to be good citizens, to vote, to participate, and to cohere, to facilitate, you know, sometimes because of the apartheid laws of keeping people apart. You know, you find there's a very little interconnection between black and white youth, for example. These are some of the things that the NYJ will want to address going forward, to make sure that we've got young people who've got the same perspective and are all patriotic towards one South Africa. So this is going to receive a major emphasis going forward. So if you ask what is the change, I would say this and the problem I mentioned around the beginning of youth development would constitute that. Information communications that will continue, outreach will be important. Policy loading, advocacy, research, monitoring, and evaluation, I think those speak for itself, as well as effective and efficient management. So this talks about governance and making sure that the Zombi Fund has never had a qualified audit. The NYDA must never also have a qualified audit. I think the president has been said, you know, so going forward. So those things around effective and efficient management of resources is very important to make sure that we never appear before fault, and that has never happened before. So those are some of the things. So we don't create problems for you, I'm sure you don't want to see us there, you know. So efficient and effective management of resources is very important. We will touch on the update that staff has already been transferred. Climate change management process for measure, they're ongoing. There are two clusters that are coming together. And so far, between when the NYDA has started to operate, some programs are obviously taking over from the two institutions that have started already being implemented. We expect that there will be a big bang from 1 April 2009, 10, going forward, based on the new budget that we expected. A CEO has been appointed, and will assume his duty or her duties on the 1st of November. So this is almost a goodbye, in a way, on my part, to the portfolio committee. I'm sure it will be coming here again, unless I'm a consultant. but that's why life is going to be there. The consultative process with provinces for establishment of provincial structures will be commencing inside this week. And then they are all the things for establishment, governance, approval, and so on. Those have been completed, only waiting with the closure audit to be completed. Chairperson, I think one of the issues, and I think this the portfolio committee must take with all the seriousness that this deserves, what I'm going to say. You see, there has been a problem in the past of reducing youth development to youth institutions. But that has never been met with resources. That goes with it. I mean, as you say, the research that was done points to that. I mean, even to have 70% of the youth of the unemployed being young people, you need this significant resources to address them. Now, we're not saying the NYDA should be a panacea to youth development. But I can safely say that if there is no additional funding that will significantly alter the allocations that were made to the Youth Commission and so on the fund, the status quo will remain. Nothing will change. And now, I think this committee must take that very seriously because the NOJ Act was passed and formulated by Parliament. And so by and large, it also has some responsibility to ensure the success of the NOJ. It's not only government, but I think Parliament as well has that responsibility. We know the budgetary restrictions, there's a recession, etc. But hope and aspirations have been created in the minds of young people that we're going to solve the problems and the failures of the Youth Commission and so on this fund. But we can't now allocate the same budget and expect a miracle. It's not going to work. So this is a very significant problem that we are facing. And we do know that Parliament has passed the money bill, and hopefully it will invoke its powers, if need be, in the interest of youth development. Because this we are worried about, you know, going forward.
In short,
you are not enough. We see danger in the horizon, and so we just not want to wait for the danger to hit, and then we say, you know, we can see it coming. Obviously, possible staff turnover, it has happened. This is natural of any measure happening. It's not unusual. Whoever is a measure, the uncertainty, people are going to move. The national friction. But I think the new CEO is well endowed to, and with the remaining staff, and will be able to continue, you know, going forward, you know, with the staff. So it's not an institution that is in disarray. I think every stage is really more at a formative stage. But that is one of the uncertainty over partner commitment. All Mushan has already cancelled the relationship with the NYDA, and we hope that we will sustain the ones we have with FNG and the others, you know, that they don't realize that they do realize that this is actually a better situation now than what before. In as far as sports is concerned, of course, we are looking very hard as part of social cohesion and deepening sports development to make sure that the sponsorship is sustained in the interest of youth development, especially for those of us who partake in sports. That's our base, but it's very important for us. And so we are developing a program here around sports and sports development and around making sure that we engage with private sector beyond NetBank. I mean, these are some of the things that we need to do. A historical analysis, this must be criticism of government, and I speak this now individually, that if you look at the amount of money spent on 2010, this has been money spent on sports facilities in communities. I don't think it's correct. And we're spending far more money on some of the things which may even become like elephants. But the both of us say that no stadium, no community wall, nothing. You know? So that, I believe, that has to be corrected. It cannot be that especially black young people don't have sports facilities, they can't play tennis, they don't even have swimming pools. You know, 15 years down the line. So, I mean, that has to be addressed, you know, going forward. That it is over the next 3 years, same amount of money that government has spent on 2010 must be spent on sports development of black youth in particular. Because those things are missing. And then demand for products and services, obviously people are not sure, are you still open? Are you guys finishing the measure first? But as I say, as you can see in the numbers, that those people have continued going forward. The development philosophy to redress the
prison? What's the difference? When you're trying to do, do you not see the need to add corruption there?
Well, these are imminent challenges.
Also, a major challenge.
Yeah. Yes. A major challenge that we have. As government. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it is a possible risk at this stage, but we wouldn't necessarily at this time call it a challenge, but I think it's not something that has been experienced predominantly in the NYDA, but yes, Jackson, you're correct that going forward, it is a potential risk that we need to look at, that we do not experience any corruption. And then, in terms of the development philosophy going forward, I think that quite self-explanatory, addressing privacy imbalances, focusing young people between ages of 14 and 35, major beneficiaries coming from low-income households, having structured and unstructured programs. Here, chapters around unstructured programs, we're saying sometimes if we just put small money aside, where you give small NGOs led and run by young people, just give them 5,000, but still make sure they can account for it. It could go a long way, rather than always having things that are highly structured. It could go a long way in encouraging civil society activism amongst young people, because there is a cry out for that. One of the things around the target going forward is that Shepperton, going forward, as you know, Tom Youth Fund and discriminated against the young people who are white. But going forward, the doors are open for all young people regardless of race. But as you say here, our focus is going to be predominantly on those who come from low-income households. So, so even what young people can apply for loans and so on, but obviously the mean test is going to be from what kind of households they come. So that is a very, very significant change going forward. And I think in our communication, we need to make that very clear. And I think some of the things I've already touched on them. And just on page, we've spoken on the key projects, Metric Direct project, and some of the projects that we are looking at. Shepperton recently returned from a program in Vietnam, and they are actually here, so they haven't left. They're still here, so we intend to have some programs with the youth of Vietnam and other youth around the world. These are just where you find some of the office. I don't think it's quite legible, but yes, it may just give you a sense of the 121, which are very substantial that are happening. I'm not going to dwell on the business approach and so forth. And then as it is right now, you know, as you can see, the cash on hand is very, very limited. We're talking about 1.35 million, so there's very little resources that are left. One of the things that we've been looking for has been to, because we have a measure that was not funded. I mean, and so we are in discussions with Treasury and our host department, the President, to make sure that the measure must get funded. But right now, it has been funded out of the process that came from Mutombishan and the Youth Commission. And the problem with that has impacted negatively on programs for young people. As a result, we've had to cut down on the number of vouchers we issued to young people. We've had to cut down on the loans that have been given to young people to fund the measure, which I don't think is correct, and that's what has obtained. But we have been having discussions, including yesterday, with the Minister Treasurer on that. We hope, Chairperson, in conclusion, that Parliament will support our bid of this large sum of money in the context of youth development quite benign and into it. 950 million rand, around 35, it should be with the one in before the 9. But we are quite realistic. We are cognizant of the recession, and hence we have really tightened our belts to really request this amount of resources, just to make sure that we meet government halfway. We could have asked for 5, but we were really mindful of the recession, Chairperson and honourable members. So we hope that in your discourse when this budget will come, and you will ask why is it not 9 days? Well, we think that is quite fair. Thank you, Chair.
We will open for questions, concerns, questions.
Thanks for a very impressive presentation. Just a few things I would like to raise. The first one is that when you know when you started. You presented your case as a network. I was surprised that you sound like after then you become 3 years of a mental thing and no more a network. then that comes back later when you say that you are trying to interact with business and also with civic objects. Now, that for me is very important because whether we like it or not, in fact, we do support, we go all out for government to give you as much finances as possible. But government will never be able to have enough resources for all these social demands that are there. So it is always very important that when government helps, we can also help ourselves. Now the issue I'm raising is this interaction with business. You know, in China they've got the Chinese National Chamber of Commerce, but alongside that, as a week of that, is the Chinese National Youth Chamber of Commerce. And this Youth National Chamber of Commerce runs alongside the main Chamber of Commerce, and they get mentored in there, they get supported in financial, so that if you are a businessman, the older people show you, and you can grow alongside them, just like we're growing alongside our fathers at home, until we are big enough, strong enough to face the world on our own. It runs as a national thing alongside the Chamber of Commerce. Maybe this is another thing to consider because I don't think you're taking enough resources from especially big business out there, mentoring resources and also financial resources. And I think that is one big area that you could explore. Like I'm saying, government is not like an economy that has enough. But this is those are the kinds that generate income for any nation. And if you can really make an impact where you grow so big that you'll be surprised with yourself. The second point is that one of women. Indeed, women, I think it is intrinsic, inherent in them to protect to the mothers of the nation because growing children are they are the first one who feel that who's got to feel the flag if anything goes wrong. And as a result, nationally, they are protective. Mothers who did it so much of the payment that because I just want my children to have food on the table. So it is very strong with them because babies pull at the mother's breast when they are hungry. She's the one who moves to the fire and light. Now, I'm saying that, but I also think, I thought they were actually instituting for women like, Women's Bank, National Women's Coalition. I'm just afraid that if you are drawn into activities of women, which are very important, you might end up losing focus. So you might end up just being overwhelmed with a lot of responsibility. Maybe you should think of establishing a closer relationship with those institutions that are meant strictly to support programs for women, so that when they come to you, you can make a close referral and just say, go next door, those will help you. Because indeed, it is one that is made that it will render communities in the rural areas dysfunctional because if the mother is dependent on the child, it becomes kind of spread down in this particular society. And this is happening in the urban area. Crime happens, however, because she's old, when money comes, she doesn't even ask questions, where do you get money, because you're not employed, whether you have a check. She just has to be quiet because, you know, that's just that situation. So we do as everyone, I think we should probably still that relationship with the last point. On your previous chair, I'll make it short. I know you'll be hollering at me anytime. the last point just on, you know, a student based in Greater Kula, they did research, and in that research they were saying, out of all the business, small businesses that are started, out of 10, only 7 collapses pre-succeed, and that happens for 2 years. In fact, in America, here, when business starts, for 2 years, a lot of them have to collapse. So it's a natural thing, you know, after 2 years, as a learning curve, they have to collapse. It's only when they go back that they will succeed after 2 years. So it's not easy starting a business. And I'm just asking myself, there, what is your sustainability, besides the issue of funding, of course. Just so are you able to calculate that all the businesses that have started, so many have succeeded, so many have failed, and sustainability so much, after 7 years, are we able to say we have succeeded in running this percentage of businesses up to today? To understand that we can say this youth is starting as a small business, but one day it's going to be a big man in a big business because he's still there in the game. And how many are just disappearing into the business? Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember,
I'm sorry, I'm going to share it.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that was an interesting presentation. There was lots of enthusiasm and particularly you. That's really encouraging. I was glad to hear about your rural development plan. That's not only agriculture, but other things too. I grew up in the Elk Plant Sky, so I know what the situation there is, and my heart really goes out to people who need those opportunities. Migration is a big problem because we find that there is over too many people are just focusing on these areas where there is in fact not enough employment. And it really bothers me that we have got situations where clinics and hospitals in the rural areas are so appalling that people have to come to Cape Town to have treatment rather than being treated in Butterworth or wherever. Just one point, you've focused so much on money, 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 money. Everybody wants more money. Yes. Money does make the world go round. But I think there are many other institutions that have got far smaller budgets. I think your previous existence, you had so much, it was unbelievable. And there are other institutions that need more money. So I would like to know what you are doing besides just asking for money. I think more importantly is the attitude that needs to be changed. I think we need a spirit of volunteerism that is true volunteerism. Volunteerism, or being a voluntary worker, means that you don't just say. So why do we need more money for volunteerism? Volunteerism means that you are doing it for nothing. Now I do know that people need to eat, and if they haven't got a job, they need to eat. But we also need to have people doing something for the sake of themselves and for their community. I'm very keen on the old work ethic. I think there's too many people who just want everything, but they don't want to work for it. It's easy come, easy go, and this is common in society throughout the world. I think it needs to be changed. As far as I'm concerned, education is one of the most important tools, and I would like to see this body focusing on education and encouraging people to study. And to make sure that they're doing the very best that they can do. Because the better educated you are, the greater your opportunity. responsible citizenship is something that I picked up on. Yes, I like that. It's good. But now we really need to look at what are we teaching our young people. And at the moment, I'm very concerned about the strikes that are happening. I can understand that people are unhappy about services that may not be good enough. But how can we destroy infrastructure? How can we destroy libraries? All those things, schools. That costs money. If we haven't got money to build more schools, we know there's such a shortage of schools. That's just an example. How can we destroy? We've got to encourage young people to have a responsible attitude. Yes, you can protest, you can talk, you can write letters, you can do that thing, but we don't destroy. So I would really like to see your solid, responsible citizenship coming up. I compliment you on the idea of having a means test and that it's available for all. I think that's a great step forward. Because I think in the past, too many people who've already been up on the ladder of success and some who are very successful keep getting more. I think we need to go back to those people who have really got nothing. So yes, I see some positive things, but I really want a responsible attitude to come down throughout. We are all here. I country has problems, but we all have to work at it and make a difference. Thank you.
Maybe it's a word of caution to the NYCN. On the issue of volunteerism, it's good. I support the conversation. But what we must note is that you cannot go there, NYCN, driving your SLK, wearing your high collar shirt like a beautiful red shirt. Beautiful, I like it. I have a fun elephant also. But you cannot go to poor people, you know, in that fashion and asking them to volunteer. Don't accept that they have faith. You can't. You go to those homes. Don't go to figure out any shirt out and then the land has been so true to me and volunteer. So you must be careful how we do that. You must be careful. Just like us when we go and do our constituency work, we have to be as simple as possible. For purposes of not offending someone who has nothing. But I notice that most of us don't realize that. It's just something that I want to say, and we must take note of that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, colleagues. I am really sorry. I want to start by apologizing that I joined the meeting late. I had to attend another meeting for trade and industry before coming here. My first question, Honorable Chair, is pertaining to the rural focus project, which is made mention on page 32 of the presentation. I would like to know that what steps has the NYCA taken to ensure that young people, especially those who reside in rural areas, will benefit from the services of the NYCA, unlike in the past, where young people who reside in rural areas were marginalized. And I also want to plead with you if you share with us what your other plans are in terms of rural development. You made mention of agriculture, but if you can just try to unpack other plans that you have in terms of that. And my second question, Honorable Chair, is that does the NYCA have any plans to work closely with other government departments, such as the Department of Trade and Industry, to ensure that youth empowerment is prioritized in other departments as well, not only in the NYCA? And lastly, do you have any plans of lobbying government, cabinet in particular, to set aside a certain percentage to ensure that young people are employed in all departments, and that a survey is done to check how many young people are employed in each department? Thank you, Chair. Secondly, I would like to
the focus on the document is much more on the youth that receives food. Because I think the focus should be there, because at the end of the day, they would like to have those are the future leaders for future business people in this country, and those are the people that will improve the economy of this country. But in order to reduce the burden on the National Youth Development Agency, I think it's very important that the point at that level that children get better education. And also you spoke about the sport development, which the sport development for young people is not happening at that level, because some of our schools do not even have swimming pools. How are they compete internationally and nationally if they don't even have swimming pools? And in the real area, we don't even have those things to play. So those are the issues I think we should take into consideration, so that in future, the youth is developed while they are still schooling. Even if they have standard 10, they are able to be employed elsewhere or start a business. I think it's very crucial. And the last part, Chair, is the issue of one hopes that the National Youth Development Agency is not going to put time. Because if you start 45 meetings, it's not going to reach out to each and every young South African. That one is very crucial to me for South Africa. We love it for it, and we would like each and every South African to benefit from it.
I want to go to
thanks, Jonathan. Well, most of us more like a pioneer, but I don't see Honorable Fellowship that actually the pioneer, because I think all of us have been impressed by the presentation of the NYT Agency. I think for me, it embraces a nation at work with young blood at the helm and the center of a new order of asylum, a sense of responsibility from young people, which is what we appreciate. We've always said, it's high time that after in this democratic dispensation, young people must begin to rightfully claim their place in this democracy. And this movement, the concept, must not only be embraced by government providing services, but young people as well must be able to stand firm on their feet and say, whatever that is there that is not shown, we are going to stand at the center and reclaim it. And I think, if the spirit of the presentation of the NYTA today is anything to go by, I think there is not just hope, there is a lot that is going to come. But two questions, Chairperson, though I'm starting by compliments. I do have questions that I will put clarity on. One is to say, having amalgamated these two institutions, which is the NYC and UIF, where the NCCO allude to the fact that there have been those that due to both the recession and other economical challenges have not yet been repaid. And then knowing that those are monies that belong to the state one way or the other, what are the long-term plans that the institution intends to put into place to ensure that maybe, regardless of the fact that now the person cannot afford to repay, but there should be mechanisms in place that are put to make sure that ultimately that money is repaid back to the institution. That's question number one. And two, departments like communications, DTI, and sports, we find that they have a lot of opportunities that young people would exploit, but the issue becomes the access to those opportunities. And I would want to get to understand. For example, I know that the Department of Communication used to have a program called e-literacy campaign, where they were discussing computers, more especially to the previously marginalized areas. And it was more focused on youth in particular, the ones that are at school and the ones that are out of school. And I want to check if the NYTA will pursue those partnerships and make sure that those services are able to be taken to the young people that are really in need of those opportunities, unlike in the past. I want also to say, I fully agree with the presentation on the part that says the youth development the youth development program or agenda has always been a secondary issue, even from the point of government. But it would not be enough for me, for NYDA, to take it to government, because we know that the now defunct institutions, which is Mfumuko Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission, have themselves been institutions that would only be live and hyper when it's June. And after June, both of those institutions will have a land, and young people will not know they are existent anymore. And I think what must be now an issue for me, for the NYDA, is to learn from that and know that the agenda of youth development should be a 365 days, and it should have no cause and no sin, so that young people begin to know that there is a certain Bible from which we march as young people. And our sense of responsibility to open up to the opportunities that are there should not be institutionalized. We as young people, as individuals, should stand up and if those institutions are dormant, we should be able to put pressure on them, and they should be able to respond back to us as young people. But the last one, Chairperson, is the accent. You know, there has been no blame and complaint that has overshadowed to Mfumuko Youth Fund an issue of access. Young people have always said, we only hear this institution when they are interviewed on the radio. We only hear this institution when they are interviewed on the TV. We see their pamphlets. Maybe if it's an information day where there are all departments, Home Affairs, FAFSA, and so forth. After that, you don't have even a small office. When they go to those youth advisory centers, those centers are skeleton offices that are unable. You find that when the person is there, they don't have the information that you require as a young person at those territorial areas. And I think we must take that experience as an NYDA and begin to create a way of accessibility to this institution and make sure that the product that is in that institution, the young person in Endway, accesses equally like a person in a young person in Sainte. And a young person who is in Matikin gets to access it like a young person who is in this institution. And I think the spirit of the NYDA presentation does carry that, but this enthusiasm has to be sustained. That's my take. That's the question.
Yeah.
You know
when
have
I changed to Lillian? Don't pull your input to non-members. On the issue of access, I want to fully agree with the lecture. You see, as a city, we come from different provinces, all of us. It says that we can take this, we can take us west, and so forth. But if you would ask any one of us here whether they have seen some kind of development initiated by the Mfumuko, I don't think we have a public of answer. But it's fun to all of us, what is this Mfumuko? Until it was grown. I said, oh my son, we no longer have the Mfumuko. So then the issue of accessibility is key. There's no use in NYDA sitting up there.
Yes.
Having good offices and so forth, and you are not delivering on the ground. And here you are, you come with a big budget, you want us to lobby. If we lobby, we want to see the ground. Simple as that. But let's give a chance for the member to, the member of the NYDA to respond. But also try and keep your responses, you know.
No, thank you very much. One thing to do in terms of offline funding to contact to be able to deal with the daily, with the issues, which is the notification of the information. I think let me start with the latter part of the access, because it's very important. But whatever that is, you need to have a good plan. But if young people, they cannot be able to access our services, we want to be able to access. What we've done, which is part of our plan, we're putting very clear that we start off with there are 282 municipalities. We'll make sure that each of these municipalities does the office of NIC. But we also take into account that there are other areas which have data. For example, if you go to KZN and Minister, we found that there are rural areas with a high density in terms of population, which is quite far. And then instead, we have 16 mobile offices, which is deployed in areas where you find that once you've got an office in that municipality, but if there are rural areas which are far away, we'll make sure that at least those mobile offices, they go to those areas. And making sure that at least young people, they must be able to take a test or a van to the rural areas to be able to access the offices of the ministry. But besides, on top of that, it cannot be just a Mickey Mouse offices. Those offices must be able to respond to the infrastructure, to the aspirations of young people. At least the young person who visits that office must be able to have access to internet, to a phone, a text machine in those offices. At least also in terms of the services and the information. But besides, on top of that, when it comes to the issues of information, we'll be establishing, putting together, which is a project taken into consideration, what is called a conduct standard. A conduct standard is like when you phone MTN or Vodacom or a thing, your internet banking. If you're forgetting your user number or your password, you get access there. But besides, for instance, with a conduct standard, with that same phone call, we found that there's a long queue of lines. We cannot be assisted once you want, even if you go through a concern, because that a person who answers you does not have information, you know, from the one or two issues. But I think in terms of the conduct planner, if you make a follow-up to each and every other person, if you call on the conduct planner, you must be held step by step until you're handled. So I think those are the areas we should make sure that we are using it, making sure that we close gaps when it comes to the issues of information. But I think all of us will agree, also how the NYC was established, also how we're establishing the provincial offices. We're making sure that all these organizations, the level of your youth political organization, your NGO, your CTO, the student youth organization, also young people run businesses. They're also part and parcel of the NYC. That's why in terms of our own plan, we're going to all provinces and making sure that we take all young people to account in terms of the processes of NYC. Especially the youth stakeholder. I think there was also part of the first question from when they raised the issue of the Chinese model when it comes to the issue of businesses. I think it's also one of the issues which we're learning at the level of NYC, just as Acting CEO indicated that we had a delegation which is still in South Africa of 22 young people from Vietnam. We are representing 8,000 businesses which are strictly run by young people, which they contribute towards the GDP growth of Vietnam. The quarter of the GDP growth comes directly from businesses which are run by young people. They are in charge in terms of the economy there. I think it's one of the issues in terms of our plan. We have also met at the level of NYC last month with young people who run the youth chambers in South Africa to be able to formulate a way forward to making sure that how they are coordinated. How can we assist them? Those are the lessons which have learned from China, which have learned from Vietnam. Because if you look at the levels of unemployment in Vietnam, they are sitting at 3.5%, we also got 8 million in terms of population. And then you said, those are the levels, those are the models which must be able to learn. Because one of our own main tasks at the level of NYC, besides making sure that we integrate, we coordinate the issues of youth development, is to make sure that we also develop models. A model for government to be able to say this model works and it must be implemented by government partners. I think one of the initiatives that we take a very serious of making sure that at least young people they run vibrant businesses. But I think on top of that, I wish the question was also raised around about the issue of national youth service program, also around about reaching the highest level of social consciousness when it comes to young people. We've got, which is part of our program, of making sure that as we're moving forward, but if you can simply ask young people who are part and parcel of this meeting, what do you want to achieve as a nation? All of us should speak with different voices. We cannot be able to have one answer like young people want to achieve, want to be the greatest, want to achieve the American dream, like young people in Namibia want to remain, want to make sure that Namibia remains as a land of the dream, like young people in Togo want to remain as defenders of the revolution. And then we said, at the level of NYC, we must make sure that we build the highest levels of consciousness. So if you look without really measuring, going to detail. I've been making this issue. If you look the challenges we are having in Bafana Bafana, once you agree, it is around about the coaching, but it's not only around about the coaching, it's around about the high levels of consciousness. Because if you look at the team of 96, that's a bit the team of 2009. If you look at, in terms of the commitment when they play soccer, in terms of the commitment on tackle, in terms of the innings, we found that the ones today, they won't go to any one-on-one where they can lose their legs in the process. While the team of 1996, they were committed. And then it is not only about coaching on, it's about the high levels of consciousness when it comes to young people, which is part of the role that must be able to play at the level of NYPA, which our mission from the Eastern Cape of Brazil sharply, that's part of our work. We must make sure that we do not place the sense of dependence when it comes to young people. Young people, they must understand, if we're talking about youth development, it is a two-way street. Others are going down, others are going up. They must be able to act as their only barrister. Our responsibility is to make sure that they get information. It's what must be able to do that. Our own young people, they must be informed about all the processes, but they must be able to act as their only barrister. That's why we put it very clear. When it comes to the education, we must make sure that from the early age up to the upper age, we make sure that in terms of our own campaign, people are aware that they must be in school during the school hours and so forth. But the last point which I must make is around about the issue of rural development. In terms of the rural development, we've made it clear that our approach on rural development, it must be a broad approach. That's why we've identified four provinces as part of our program at the level of NIT. We will be putting plans where young people in cooperatives, they can make fertilizer as a part of the first step. But we are also looking on other areas of making sure that we contribute in the rural areas.
Yeah.
We've identified cases and we've identified 10 cases for Malang and Hong Kong. We are working with the land bank on that program, which will be putting those plans, which will be last by young people, they'll be making fertilizer. At least I think also when our government intervenes on issues of agriculture, they must buy fertilizer from young people.
Lastly, Chairperson, I think Comrade touched on a couple of things, but I think there was an encouragement for us to help the people from the private sector. There is a youth development forum that exists, which existed before, that will be sustained, which is a forum that has got CEOs and senior managers from various private sector companies, and to engage with them to make sure that they are resources for youth development. One of the programs that we introduced, which we will want to pursue, is around adopted school programs. I mean, we spoke about the issue of education, where we want to encourage private companies to adopt schools, especially where they operate. It cannot be that you have a mine in Mokopane and yet Anglo American, yet you have not adopted 5% schools, you just going to put mine in the golf course. Yeah, so I mean, those are some of the things that we will look at in terms of directly private sector investment. On the issue of the success rate of sustainability, there is currently research underway that is in a regression analysis study to look at what has been the performance of these SMEs that have been funded. But there was a research that was done by Umsomogu Fund and Fund Bank. An SME survey that was run that looked at issues around tax and so forth. And we found that there's a couple of things. One was that as you correctly say, that quite a number of the businesses that have started do tend to collapse. But in South Africa, it's not as high as 710. We're looking at around 40% of those in the start that they don't go beyond year one, year two. And also, we find that. And there's very low total entrepreneurship activity, you know, amongst young people, especially those in rural areas. So those are the things that we need to be addressed. But from a lending point of view, the bad debt provision, in fact, not just provisions, net debt written off, has not been more than 10%, which I think for a state institution is not very bad, which means now out of 10 people that get funding pay back. And we find that people who don't pay back, nobody thought that they don't want to pay back. Maybe there's been a funeral or there's something that has been happening in the community, but eventually they do try to pay back. I couldn't because of the strictness of the National Trade Act. Because people now know that if I don't pay back and I don't get registered, it means I'm out of the length of borrowing for almost a total of 5 to 6 years. So I think that has had a positive impact. In fact, that is why when it's called the credit crunch, that happened to us well, which had default in bad debt book. That happened in the US, almost all countries. South Africa did not follow the same thing. And by and large, as a result of the legislative paradigm that we have, whereby we have the national credit bank and banks cannot play around with derivatives and so forth. So that, I think, is quite helpful. I agree with you, Chair, about Gucci comradeship. that, you know, like Gandhi said to Honorable Dow, looking at our things, we only wear them when it comes to Parliament because we dress like us. but you are quite correct that when you do reach out, like Gandhi said, you know, to be with the poor, you have to look like the poor. And that has to be the spirit, you know, going forward. Some of the issues that is raised are obviously recommendations, I think, that must be adopted and going forward. On the issue of the women minister versus the president, I think it's a camp ball in the sense that I think I'm not sure if the portfolio committee has been changed from youth, women, and people with disabled children. And I'm not so sure that you know, the function of the what we do therefore will not be recorded. I think it's something that we need to look into beyond this particular meeting. I don't think we have an answer yet. You know, but when President reports, if there is consensus with Parliament that we need to report that particular committee, we will definitely report to that going forward. But I think, as we all say, you quote examples that you quote the children and so on. Even if you don't report this particular committee, you have a responsibility, Honorable Kiki, to continue to support the youth of the government. I don't think that is limited to other political into this committee. So we do hope, and we know we will get your support going forward. I'm encouraging young people with education. There is a program which can be scaled up with the university and round of taking students who are in education to get them into Qatar Home and other countries. We can teach math and science. These are undergraduates who go and teach them. So the kind of program that we would like to see being extended to all things. Because the evaluation of that, most people said, they find it that when they've been taught by their peers, somebody who's only 3 years old or so, they find that they find education more enjoyable, you know, and they can, you know, be free and so forth. So that's the something that will continue. On sports development, as I already said, I think we do agree that we need to continue to do that, to continue to lobby for more investment in youth development. I mean, I said this to the previous chairperson of the South African Sport Committee. I said, you know, we are the 20th largest economy in the world, and we're the 20th worst performing sporting nation in Olympics in many other aspects. And if you look at those other countries that are part of the G20, which are part and parcel of Canada, US, and so on, even Cuba, which is probably number 100 and something from an economic point of view, that's far better than us. There is something that we're not doing well. Because I don't think it's an issue of resources. I think there is a paradigm shift that is required to be addressing as far as sport is concerned. And that is something that the NRJ will be paying attention to. The NRJ will not be politicized in terms of being sectorial. So don't only be ANC, that is the, you know, CS, will be everybody. Like, you get the board now. Got freedom grant and so on and so on. So there will be COVID in provinces. We will be political, but we will be all embracing in as far as the politics are concerned. So I think that is what we commit ourselves to. We already with the freedom grant, so don't see what we cannot work with for IFP and so on. And then lastly, on the issue of on the issue of loans not being repaid, what are the long-term plans to ensure repayment? We do have collection activities, and one of the key performance areas of our loan officers is not only just to lend, but it's also to collect. And there are limitations if they don't collect. up to a certain level. So that's something that we'll be looking at. If your visibility, I just want to conclude by saying, we take all the comments that have been made. I think they're quite positive and we'll continue that. On the issue of visibility, Chair, the chairperson is saying we'll have some necessary offices which are not Mickey Mouse, just to quote close quote. Is it to open an office, and this is not numbers that are, but they are really based on factual and so on. To open an office takes you anything, depending on your personal meter, costs you at least between about 6,000-7,000, and that is like low stacking, 7,000-8,000 per square meter. Now, if you talk about an 100 square meter office, it means you need minimum of about 800,000. You're not even started to put in programs. Just minimum, 800,000. I'm talking about low tech. Buying second-hand furniture is missing, you know? But you know, you must have security, roller doors, et cetera. People must be the braking, it must be physical. You must have the proper IT systems. You must roll out the USB lines and all those kind of things. It's cost. And then if an office then going up to about 250 square meters, which is average office, cost plus minus around 2.5 million right now. For example, there was a question around encouraging education and encouraging work ethic. Part of the programs we run in terms of job preparedness, especially to do that, so we've got workshops that run there to prepare people for the labor market. Now, so if we take that, if then you say 2.5 million, then you say you want to have, currently we have 12 offices that we run ourselves. Let's just say, we say, assuming local government will come to the party and they will go 50-50 and we'll have private sector contribution. So we have them and we say, you know, we'll only need 500,000 rand. Now, if we take that 500,000 plus 200 offices that need to be rolled out, you're talking at the very least, very, very least, you're talking of a number not less than 20 million rand. You know? And that, on top of that, then you've got ongoing operating overhead. You must hire staff, then you must roll out offices, and sort of products and services, loans, etc. So we're looking at per office, really, at around 12 offices that people can go in and really find it useful. We're talking about 3 million rand. This includes everything, with one office cost of about 500,000 rand. Now, you can imagine 3 million rand multiplied by 200,000, that's 600 million rand. You know, so that is why I said in my presentation that the issue of business, that is why you find that URF, its smell was bigger than its effectiveness. As Pajiji said long time ago, I don't know what he said about something like that, but you know, it's like from old, I don't know what you call it in other languages, you know. Very big smell, but, very small, you know. So Rome was like an oasis in the desert, where it accepts all this energy, but it can only retain so much energy from the sun. Because sometimes even when you go to municipalities and you find a mayor, young people ask you, "Yo, mayor, what are you doing for the young people?" "Well, you know, it's government, we're starting to move really fast." How much? You know? And then, so one of the things that we need to make sure is really to ensure that there is some kind of regulation around local government for them to set specific amount for youth development. But then I said earlier, Chair, really we're motivated for 930 million. We are afraid that this kind of promise that we're going to be visible and so on. Now I'm an accounting officer, somebody tells a politician, now I'll talk about mine. I know it's uncomfortable, but I have to deliver his vision, or the new CEO has to deliver his vision. And the reality becomes that when the rubber hits the road, if you don't have sufficient resources, what you saw with Mr. Bong and the Youth Commission, the same citizens are going to prevail. They will just be the same and more. And everyone will speak anything now. Be more eloquent and say, "Oh, you told me so." That this energy will not solve our problem. What's happening? It's worse. You know? So I'm just saying, Chair, we're not pleading for the money because, you know, we it's just the reality on the road. We're even saying to the National Treasury that if they want to give us money on an invoice, draw down this, to really prove that we're using the money, we are able to do that. We'll get quotation, we can report every day if need be. Because we're not desperate to do good for our young people. And then we are lobbying private sector. Government doesn't see it as a panacea, but private sector also sometimes will say, we give you so much, but you must remember that doing things upon their selfish interest. You know, they want to steal, but you want money for loans, they're not a bank. Maybe banks will come to the party and so forth. But you find that many of them, when they come in, they've got a predetermined agenda. So you need to have government as a guarantor on them. So thank you very much, and thank you for the support.
Thank you. It would seem that we have actually asked for that. But I think you have to cut some costs. You can't negotiate with municipalities and so forth. Because the government is going to make it. And perhaps also check on public work. Public work usually have, you know, huge buildings that are not sitting idle. Check on that as well. But also my question would be, I would want to know as to what liabilities you have inherited from the previous entity. And you would also remember that in the previous financial year, the Auditor General refused to give an opinion. So we would want to know what you are doing about this as an agency. So obviously you have inherited all those problems and troubles. And also, one is keen to know how possible that all the achievements that you have put before us, how are they possible, taking into account what I've just said?
Honorable, just two simple questions. Just say one, two, three, four, five. Mine says the follow up is not any question. Okay, you can take a follow up.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'm just content that, you know, they didn't respond to any of my questions. I was listening very attentively.
What was your question about?
I asked three questions.
I know
the first one was about rural development, the second one was about partnerships with other departments like the CCI, the third one was about employment of young people in government departments.
I think the one
and
was answered. The one on rural development was answered. So can you respond on the one on partnership and the one on
employment and the survey?
Yeah.
And lastly, Chairperson, I think the issue of accessibility is not, you know, only about offices. We should not think that once you have got offices, then the problem is solved. It's also about awareness, you know, raising awareness. Young people should know that there is this institution, even if offices are at municipality. But they should know, because the data of this commission was the fact that they existed for more than 10 years. But young people did not know, you know, what activities do they have as a, you know, as an institution. So it's not only about offices, it's broader than that. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I think in terms of the last issue around outreach, I think the Chair did indicate that there are roadshows that to deepen the awareness, including the mobile units that will be there. And then the other issue really being that involving young people in the communication itself rather than just relying on your third party advertising agency and so on, to find creative ways to involve them in the outreach. And then in as far as working with government departments, we used to work with 23 government departments. And I think those partnerships will be sustained going forward. I think just before you arrived, one of the things that we did say was that almost all the funding for NISA Youth Service, quite a large chunk of it, actually comes from government departments, especially EPWP, of the 55,000, money for 20,000. Was actually coming from the Department of Public Works for renovation of public buildings and so forth. So those things will be sustained. And then also, I think the good thing now is that with the whole interdepartmental coordinating committee, which is on the youth commission, which is being sustained, it used to be done by the youth commission, but they were not implementing projects with UIF not participating in it. So those partnerships, you know, there was not a coherence in terms of making sure the partnerships are formed. Now that those things have been done under one roof, we think that the possibility of partnerships, they will be far better now, you know, going forward. Lastly, on encouraging youth employment and vacancies, as I said earlier, on also, just before your arrival, Honorable Levine, you know, we will make sure that we follow up. There is an approach that came from Public Service Administration through the Public Service Leadership Management Academy Parliament to say that let's fill all the vacancies with the unemployed graduates. On our database, there's plus minus 25,000 unemployed graduates. There's not people with a diploma, a certificate, or a degree. And many of them have been unemployed for more than 3 years. So we're looking at that. We're focusing now immediately on 6,000 because even though government has got large vacancies, some of them are not funded. So we're focusing on the funded vacancies, and they have been running adverts in the paper for recruitment of those vacancies. So our policies for not position questions, which will cover enough funding. Thank
you.
through you, Chairperson, looking into your key performance area,
okay.
I seem not to be very comfortable that the National Youth Development Agency have a sense in mind of it being the key leadership of the youth in the country. We are seeing current activities which involve even violence and destruction of goods in our society in various areas at different times. Do you have any plan to redirect that energy to be used constructively? And if so, is it there in any of the 8 key performance areas covered? And how urgent do you intend dealing with development of a program of action to go out and address those constituencies to redirect their energy?
Thank you, Chairperson. This has been a beautiful presentation. I'm happy to hear that my first concern was about politicizing the NYPA. I'm happy about that. And one other thing that makes me happy to hear what you said about women. There's one thing that women are natural managers, from both. I've got two questions that concern me. You spoke about the second chance in the matriculation. What criteria are you people going to use? That's number one. Number two, you know, they are the future of our country, you know? And there are those that have been discarded by the previous UYF. And some of them, let's say more especially in the rural areas, have given up. And some have reached a point of no return. Are you only going to look at the skills, the funding? What about the behavior of those that you behavior, in etiquette, in everything. It's not manual. That's the question that I'd like to ask. Thank you.
Okay, let's add one more hand. Honorable Kiki.
I think it's
Chair, in the presentation was a mention of youth advisory centers, and I could not get clearly in the explanation, because before we used to have advisory offices, and they went very well, especially for the to access information for the community. So I really need to get clarity on this particular issue. And the second one is just an advice, Chair. We have many foreigners in this country, young foreigners, and they have skills, a lot of skills. They can use their hands, which is a disadvantage in order to South Africans. Therefore, I don't know whether are you looking at having a program of transfer of skills, how to utilize the foreigners that are in this country with lots of skills as well, we do not have in the country.
And also what you need to know, I know you may not know this as you, but your mom will know it. If I want someone to put pass for me on the floor, I'll go to the person that's sitting from the corner. If I want someone to sit in my cupboard, I'll go to the person that's sitting from the corner. Because our people don't have to. So if you could tap into those fields, I don't know how you'll do it, but those people are very skilled. I remember one time I went to the area that you go to and just get, you know, get them there out at the side of the road. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted someone to help me shift something. I got this guy, he came and shifted. You know, he did it with passion, you know. In chapel and just broken and so forth. But then I started chatting with him. What are your skills? What other skills do you have? You know what he said? I'm not very skilled, but I'm very skilled at gardening. Something that our youth would not say. But I'm skilled in gardening. I now use it as someone to assist me in the gardening. He was not ashamed to say gardening. So I think do make a follow up on what the honorable member has said.
Thank you very much, once again, sir. I think one of the issues we are doing at the level of NIT almost on daily basis is to make sure that all organizations, civil society, including the private sector, they understand our own mandate at the level of NIT. I think we put more emphasis. That, yes, we've noticed that the number of questions you have been asked at the level of NYC. But I think youth development in South Africa must be able to take place each and every step of our own society. If we talk about provincial government, national government, including local government, when they develop their own business plan, they must make sure that issues of young people are at the front. When young people play sports, they go to the Department of Arts and Oxford, they must be assisted. So those are in the executive industries in the arts, they must be assisted. If you talk about the Department of Mining, when they issue mining training and IT procurement policy, then they must be at the center, they must be able to mainstream, they must be able to travel past. That's really the work, that's the core work of NYC in making sure that we monitor that issues of people that are mainstream, they're integrated. Where we come in at the level of NIT, which must be able to emphasize on that point, we only implement specific youth intervention programs. Where we see that there are young people are falling within the cracks, so we come in. For example, we know the mandate of the Department of Education to make sure that young people they must be able to go to school. But it is not the ideal situation that adults they must be able to stay in the click. It's where we come in to be able to say what we do about those who have not managed to pass the question in the that's why we must be able to develop now the intervention program and then we have it. It's where we come in on the specific youth intervention program. It's what it must be able to be at the front in terms of the mandate of the NYC, which must be able to make sure that money, all of us, we advocate it, that in all sectors, it must be there. I think one of the first questions which was asked, it was around about the protest, the previous shooting by protest. Where are the protest? They appear on television, then they ask, what are the issues? They say, no, people are taking our lives. but the young person who is the age of 18 was celebrating, the wives are taken. What is the issue a young person at the age of 15 appears on television? No, we want houses. Which it is a correct point that all of us have got the responsibility of making sure that we divert the energy of young people towards the right direction. I think at the level of NYK, which means in Banffa, which in Standard, which is happening in all the areas. One of the issues that we picked up when we've been intervening in those areas is that the municipalities have not followed what the Youth Commission has raised long time ago around about the issue of institutional maintenance, which is also making is one of the weakest areas in terms of our government, because we've been advocating. When we talk about national, provincial, and local government, they must institutionalize this development. Each and every office of the local municipality, there must be a youth unit in the office of the mayor, accounts directly to the office of the municipal manager. So, we're saying in provinces, there must be youth directory, which must be accounted directly to the office of the HOD, each and every department. National has been clear that there must be youth directory, which accounts to the office of the DG. But that is not taking place. But if you look at the total number of population, which all of us must not undermine in South Africa, young people, they constitute the biggest number. Because in terms of the total population of 8 million, young people, they are more than 21 million. It simply says, if you talk about structures of society in terms of the time, they constitute the biggest number. If you talk about unemployment, you talk about underdevelopment, who simply says young people, they are hit high by those challenges. As we speak today, we should talk about young people between the age of 15 and 22. 2.2 million, they are not part of any mainstream, they are not part of any activity. Some of them, they pass down the six, some of them, they fail. They fail down the six. We talk about almost close to 6.2 million young people between the ages of 14 and 35. They are not part of any activity, not part of any mainstream. We are solely sitting on the time bomb. That's why we are saying all of us have got responsibility of making sure that we respond in this area. One of the key areas which has noticed the members that have not really managed to tax. In terms of our own key areas, we'll talk about come next year, we started a program which was engaging the Department of Defense. Because I think the Department of Defense, before 1994, the government of apartheid managed to train more than 1 million soldiers before 1994. But they never started to educate them after 1994, which is the question which is raised by the honorable member around about the issues of peace. That's all we said. As part of our plan, we'll make sure that come next year, we must be able to recruit not less than 500,000 members through the National Defense Program. But we said, they must be able to be paid for a number of areas, such as bricklaying, painting, as others, as the engineers, as artisans, on various areas. If you meet a painter, at least in your street next door, you can have the young person can be able to paint your room, you can be able to paint your house. If you need somebody who's got plumbing skills, as this young person can be able to do that. By doing that, we'll be able to meet the 2014 development goals, which was set for ourselves, which are part of the United Nations, where we'll make sure that if this young person is given 100 feet, and then that person does not live under $1 a day. So our own education system, that's why, as the agency we have talked, that on our own database, we've got more than 25,000 young people are graduating. It simply says, once we are developing this intervention, the universities, they produce the unemployment. What comes out from the universities, if they are Kenyan people graduated, you must be convinced that 60% they are going to be unemployed. Because what is coming out from the universities is not responding directly to the economic needs, in terms of the economic sector of our country. Those are the areas which are saying, once they able to intervene, especially making sure that when it comes to skills development, it's revolutionized in South Africa. That's why in our own, we have a commitment in all, there are 23 sectors in South Africa. With one sector, we have confirmed that now we're going to work with NYT of making sure that the issue of training, we massify it. So what has been happening when it comes to sectors? They've been training 12 people for a period of year in the whole province of KZN, one sector was trained 12 people in the province of Eastern Cape, it will be 6 people. So in fact, that it does not make any impact to our one of our main limitations in South Africa is we like certificates and degrees. Everything one does that it must have certificates. We should compromise the core element of skills of making sure that if a population is skilled,
it seems to be like a kind of Vietnam, where everybody, they run their own small enterprise. No one is depending on government. It's one of the right ones who have started with the level of energy, of making sure that the issues of skills, only among the most skills, we must not talk only about exit opportunities. Because our limitations, when we plan, we must be able to plan where Andile is going to end up. You cannot determine what is going to happen in the next 20 years. What we must be able to do is to make sure that at least people have got skills now. If they have got skills, they can be able to the other part, which is the important part of our own golden girl, our own little girl custom. With our counterpart, what has been the support of NYC. At the level of NYC, we've been very clear, we've made also the call yesterday and the day before yesterday, we've been having a meeting with all youth organizations, national and political, CPOs and NGOs, all of them, Coke Youth, Youth Click Youth, IST Youth, all of them, I've been with the honorable members, and that is the supporting of the youth. ICU today. We have called all the youth organizations. We said at the level of NYCA, part of our work, we are not going to reinvent the wheel. If youth organizations they started programs, we must be able to partner with them. But if those who do not have programs, we'll be difficult to partner with them because we must be able to complement the work which is done by the youth organization. Also, under the leadership of the Supreme Council, we should take a consultation. That we must be able to be the strong country because we must be that voice which is strong at the level of the we stress on that aspect. On the issue of caste, I will join the youth league because the youth league has taken a lead of making sure that there is a common kind support on the issue of caste. We should be also keeping them our, at the level of NYC, I think ours should be able to complement that process, which has been part of the process from the beginning when our caste has arrived until today. That's the support which we are really providing at the level of NYC when it comes to cash and the other aspects.
Just to say that on the issue around the 15,000 youth, the 20-year volunteer program, the progress that was asked, we were very active in terms of the recruitment. In fact, all the offices of the NYC were utilized as the recruitment point. And then also the call center was utilized for purposes of recruitment as a possible call. Now it's in the process of screening and shortlisting, and then which will be followed up by training. We have already developed the training program working with the LOC for the 2010. We've also done a reconnaissance of our experience from the from the Confederation's Cup, what were some of the challenges for us. So there's a good experience to go through, but everybody in Trinity was very happy with the performance and the attitude that was portrayed by those young people who were volunteering. So now just to grow the numbers and also to make sure that many young people participate in South Africa, not only black youth, but all races of young people must take part in this particular intervention. So that's work in progress that will be continuing. And then in terms of engaging the Department of Sports around the sports development, I think we will have a comprehensive program for sports development, as much as we have for rural development, for young persons with disabilities, to make sure that those programs are done. In as far as, that will include the issue of facility development. In fact, about 2-3 years ago, on the outreach that we did with Parliament, and coming back to the issue that you asked about the role of Parliament, we would like the Parliament to invite us to its outreach program so we can come and make a presentation of what we do, but seeing is believing as well, so that we're not only visible in 16. So it would be good then to make sure that they wear their program. We can have site visits or what we call monitoring oversight visits. That we participate in those. We take you to our program. Sometimes we give you just here in Kailicha, and so on. Just the surrounding area, just to have a taste of what's happening. And maybe finish in one of the franchises owned by young person. They have a meal there that has been funded. That kind of a day we look forward to. Spending a day with you like that, where we can start sharing with programs with young people with disabilities, go and see one or two businesses, and then go and see a youth service program in action, and then maybe end up with a lunch with a young and civilian to engage with you and tell you whether I'm happy or not. So I think that kind of program can be planned, and we really very much look forward to engaging with the Office of the Chair in that regard. And then the program for inmates, there is one program now, and there are two programs. One is where we go out to prison facilities where we take motivational speakers and sponsors. But we've also introduced a program which was running in four prisons, Pretoria, Modabi, and so on, for teaching math, English, and science, and helping people to pass. So when we see training teachers in prison, so about 500 odd of them, 512 of them graduated last year. So they are now working inside prison and running classes and teaching the fellow inmates. And so we'd like to see that program grow throughout all the prisons beyond the pilot site. So then the Department of Correctional Services is really enthusiastic about this program, and they really want to see it going forward. And it was funded about 80% by the NYDA. So now we'd like them to come also to the classes. So, lastly, just to talk about the support for young people from who are foreigners, so refugees and so forth. I mean, when there was xenophobic attacks at the time, both the Youth Commission and UN and so on, and other political parties were very eloquent in discouraging that conduct amongst our young people to go into communities, especially in education, about the role that was played by some of the neighboring countries during the period of our strike. So that is something that was done. But also, I think one of the things that we need to apply our mind to is to look at the migration coming here. Sometimes the result of, I just returned from Zimbabwe recently, and we have an in-principle agreement with the Minister of Youth Empowerment and Indigenization. Grading land, increasing empowerment, and developing young people. And what we said is that we look at how can we utilize our experience for Zimbabwe to set up a similar entity as the NYDA. And they have been sending young people here to come and visit some people. So some of them were also used not only to support people here, but there are quite a number of young people who are staying in Zimbabwe who attempted to cross the Limpopo River. How do we then go there and work with their government to launch a similar fund or a similar development agency? Same thing we have presented previously to the cabinet of Tanzania. Same thing with the Middle East, the Middle East North Africa Fund that is funded by the oil countries Qatar and Dubai to look at the support for the Palestinian youth. Still very interesting, but those are some of the things we want to do, not only support those who are here, but to say, if we do support those who are at home, at least then few of them will be tempted to come into our borders immediately. So that's what will be looking at. Oh, yeah. On the issue of the ages opinion, there were two entities with the disclaimer of not issuing an opinion being given to the National Youth Commission. But what we have agreed now is that as part of the due diligence, it was then agreed that because the Umthombo Umhlanga had never received a qualified audit, it always had a clean audit, that it will then be the operating entity which systems will be utilized going forward. So if you look at the finance department and so on and so on, those have been under the NYDA being assumed into the functioning institution as per the recommendation of the due diligence that was conducted by National Treasury. So that will then address some of the management letter points that we have going forward. And by and large, those things are most of them have been fixed now going forward. Just because we know the risk now for the NYDA, that if you don't fix them, then the NYDA will also receive the same thing. So those things like make sure that the fixed asset register where there's none, making sure where there were no contracts, those contracts are pursued, all those kind of things have been followed up. And we're very clear that if there is criminal conduct, we're not just keep it over the carpet. It needs to be at some stage defined, that if we were to find that there is something that is not doing us right, then we'll pursue the law. But so far, we perceive the management letter one separate, and we do undertake that going forward, this kind of problems will not recur. So these achievements, as I said, how are they possible if we have poor financial management control? I mean, there could not be a better question to be asked, that if we don't manage the finances, we lose credibility with government, we lose credibility to the private sector. And people don't want to partner with failed institutions, you know, especially your banks and so forth. I mean, the group was able to attract close to 500 million funding from private sector institutions. And so, for that to be sustained by the NYDA, it's going to be important that it continues to operate in a manner in which you will not bring your partners into the institution. So that we will continue to do, you know, going forward.
Thank you, Chair. And my apologies for being late. Unfortunately, one has to go to the Mr. Gossett. And I must first say that, you know, I'm sorry for not having been able to listen to the question. I have just comments. And one of the comments I had is that when I came in, I think we were talking about the unpopularity of the UYF, and one would hope that, you know, what you inherit will not be the same as what you, I mean, what you're going to do to go into practice. I hope that. If one may cite an example, you know, with regards to providing services, one used to be saying, you know, many used to go from I must say that none of them ever got help. You know, they were sent from one to another. So I hope that your communication will improve regarding this. And also, as your transfer, because I arrived late, you may not answer those that you've already answered. With regards to transfer, I just want to know whether there are no consequences, you know, regarding your staff, the staff that was inherited from the Mkombo. And then I must say that, you know, one is really grateful to see that in your performance, key performance indicators, you've got monitoring and evaluation, which is very vital. Because you can have those good policies in place, but if you don't have these tools, then you will never realize, you know, your achievements. And then, and lastly, Chairperson, I'm a social for having. I must say that, you know, I'm also happy to grateful to see this, you know, under your performance. But I would like, I think I'm intrigued by what one colleague said in terms of what is happening nowadays, whereby most of our youth are involved. I think, you know, social cohesion don't really leave out the question of ubuntu, you know, which is nation building at the same time, because we talk about, you know, a broken family having lost our culture. And I think at that stage, it's where you will be able, you can also be able to be of help by also building in this one in your program. Yeah.
Let me just touch a bit on the issue of the virus, which you have referred to. You know, we would say some of it is due to non-believers. Sometimes we would say that those people are being used by whoever. But my main point is, if our people, don't let us assume that they are being used. But my main point is, if they can allow
themselves to be used in such a manner, then there is something wrong either with them or with us. If they are used. So in your program, you need to check on that as well. There must be something wrong somewhere. If they can allow themselves to be used in that manner, then there's something wrong either with us as government or something wrong with them. I don't know whether you have touched, you want to respond slightly on the last speaker, but I'm sure most of it was already said.
Yes, that's on the last part. That's to correct that point. On the rather what the issue of the sentence process. The youth leaders there, the ring leaders, which will find out they were young people. I will find out when we call the meeting of the leader, so there is a genuine issue. That when the office, when the youth council want to be recognized. And then we find out we don't mobilize youth. And then we do not agree that they must break each and every corner in the process. But if you sit down with them on the meeting, they are raising genuine issues, which are things that they should not even need money from the municipality. Need the catering, not less than 5,000, to convenience which they elect their own new council. Because if they've got their own new council, any problem which arises, it becomes that new council which must be able to run against the problem. It becomes more of a specific issue on the side of the youth, which I think is a problem for us. We advocate that the municipalities are not able to dismiss the youth police in the municipalities. That's the basic issue, which they do not need any funding. They need just a council to assist and adopt a youth strategy, a youth police. Those are the dark specific issues. I think we've covered the real other issues, which, for example, on the issue of Mshobo, which arises. As the new institution, we understand clearly we've inherited. We've closed down Mshobo, we've closed down at the youth commission. Well, based on the due diligence report, also based on our own understanding of youth development, we understand that there are major limitations on both institutions, which is the new institution was not to make repeat those mistakes. We must be able to move forward, new chapter, make sure that issues of youth development, they are addressed. So I must say, whatever system that we're putting in place, we must not be able to make sure that if young people, they come to our own office, we cannot be able to come up with the response, we cannot be able to assist them from one step up to the last step. I think without really saying the last question, which was raised, I think on the basis that is the institution which is run by young people who do not have luxury on our side, who do not have patience, for so we take decisions on our side, one decision should be implemented afternoon. If we have taken a decision around about 10 o'clock, one will see a result around about 2 o'clock. It's also done on the issue of staff from the two institutions which have closed down. That process it took us that week, and then we completed the process of making sure that the staff is transferred from the youth commission, from Mshobo dispatch to NYCA. And we will make sure that at least we use the part of the committee which we had critically from the side of Mshobo, which we had critically on the side of the youth commission with the board, which they were not even one happy. So everything was done and very smooth. I know other measures, even if you look about state and as a Mokula, there are still unresolved issues, which I think will move very fast on the issue of making sure that the measures concluded in terms of the staff. I think the limitation which are putting in part, it can only be around about the issues of resources, especially the issue of funding. Which are putting are also making a current call to this meeting at the level of MIT. That is a new institution, we are not there to go and manage the surroundings. That's why when it comes to the issues of treasure, we are not linear in terms of our approach, in terms of our case. Because I think we cannot be measured in terms of what the institution we're given, because we can be reduced now that we must be able to go and manage the 550 to a part of the staff. That is they must receive the surroundings for the whole period. There are no programs. Our impact is that it's around about the 908, which has been reduced from almost 1.5 to 908. So our focus is not on programs, not on managing the staff. And then we can recall, we'll be like the institution which has been closed down.
Thank you.
you very much. I think we are all comfortable. We have posted whatever. On our side of the community, can you say thank you very much to the NYDA who had our concerns, our advisors. We hope that you will grow. We have not yet grown. You will grow up and be wise men and wise women one day. And look after yourself as the youth. Next time you come to us, whether it will be after 3 or 4 years, we would want to see you as handsome as you are. So look after yourself. We love you.
Thank you.